It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Great to have you join us today. We're in the book of Genesis as we continue the study of the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And we're in the 19th chapter. We're going to begin reading with the 17th verse. So Genesis chapter 19, verse 17, we'll begin to read there today. But before we start, I'd like for you to know that we are from Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, and our address is 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm Larry Mulch, the pastor. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address, again, is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you will find us at Parkview at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that was enough time for you to open your Bibles and be able to follow along. If you're unable to do that, why, please just listen carefully as we enjoy the study today. Genesis chapter 19, beginning to read with verse 17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto thee, and it is a little one. O, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city, for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities, and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, and towards all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Lot went up out of Zoar, and dwelt in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve the seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son, and called his name Moab, and the same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. The younger, she also bare a son, and called his names Benami, and the same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. Let's begin with prayer after we've read God's Word. Father, I thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this time. Please show us in your precious Word. You don't hide anything, even the mistakes that man makes. You record those for us to know and to learn. And please help us to see and to avoid those same mistakes that many of them that you have chose to record in your Word have made. Let's learn from them, Lord. Give us wisdom. Give us direction. This, the book that you have placed before me, your book, the Bible, it is full of wonderful strength and information and wisdom and knowledge, and we can glean over it. We can pore over it, and your Spirit in our hearts can guide and lead us as we study it, that we may know your will and way for our lives. It's wonderful, Father, to study your precious Word. Now please guide and lead us, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we study these precious words here, some of them sure seem to be sounding more like the world than like the than what God's Word should sound like, doesn't it? But as we look at it and look at it very carefully, we find here that God chooses to record all this that we may learn. There's a reason and there's a purpose for it. So I ask that you watch very carefully as we enjoy this study today. Now, as we look through these verses of Scripture, I want you to back up just a little bit, and we started midstream there. It came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain." As you look at that part of the Scripture, let's back up in case you had missed last week. And if you'll remember, Abraham had some visitors, didn't he? He had two angels and the Lord Jesus Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ, come to the door of Abraham. He had fixed them a fine meal, Sarah and Abraham had, and they sat down and they had eaten. And then after they had eaten, they had a discussion. The two angels went on, and the pre-incarnate Christ, the Lord Jesus, stood with Abraham. And as they stood with Abraham, they looked and they had discussed what was to come to pass in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the discussion started with 50 souls. If there be 50 souls in Sodom and Gomorrah, then will you save the valley? And yes, and it got all the way down to 10. And if you have 10 souls, will you save those that's in the valley? And of course, the answer continued to be yes each time, if there be 10 souls. But we found when we got in down to Sodom and Gomorrah and the two angels come to the door, we got a little bit of a picture of the wickedness. And if it had not been for Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah, we would not even had the listing of this destruction of these people. But because there was one righteous there that we needed to, God needed to take care of and bring out of this judgment, even though he was a place where he surely should not have been, why we find that he, during this time, why he comes in and two angels visit the door of Lot and find him at the gate first, so we know that he was in the on the city council, on the board, things like that. And then here comes the angels, and he says, "No, we'll just be out in the city all day." Do you remember that story? "I'll just be in the city." And Lot, no, "you come into my home." And so he compelled them to come in. And so they came in, and if you'll remember, we have no record of Lot's wife helping at all. Lot fixes the meal and fixes everything for him, and then all of a sudden, is it about time to lay down and go to bed that night? We find a knock on the door, and it's the men and the young and old, the men, boys and men of the city, and they want these two visitors. And Lot makes a very terrible statement, if you'll remember. He said, "You can have my daughters. Here's my two virgin daughters. They've never known a man. would you, you can take them, but please don't touch these men. You see, Lot knew that these two men were men of God. I mean, angels, men sent from God. And as they came, he tried to protect them all he could. But you see, the problem was that the wickedness of the city was so strong. Lot should never have been there. Well, as it turned out, he tried to get the rest of his family out. There was not 10. There was just the 4 that started out, Lot and his wife and his 2 daughters. And that's kind of where we pick up here at verse 17. And it was just so sad to see that Lot's testimony was so poor in his family. He didn't even reach his family. But what kind of a testimony would you have when that's the kind of folks that you associate with? And it's the same way today. You know, if you expect to witness to your family and reach them for the Lord Jesus, you better have a testimony. You better not be visiting the bars and the taverns, and you better not be running around with folks that smoke and drink and curse and all those things. Because if you expect to win your family, either your parents or your children, you better live and walk a separated life. Abraham did, and Abraham had a testimony among the people. Lot did not, and he had no testimony, even of those in his immediate family. He had no testimony. And so he couldn't get anybody to come with him, and so then they laid hands on the 2 daughters that were at home, and laid hands on Lot and on Lot's wife. And that's in the 16th verse. While he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his 2 daughters, and the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. Now, isn't it so sad here? Look what Lot says. Lot says to them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Well, some evil had taken him, but it wasn't some evil that he was going to find in the mountains. It was an evil that had found him in the city. But he didn't even see that to be evil, did he? He just saw that to be a normal lifestyle that he was willing to raise his family in and he was willing to live in. And I always thought that was something when we read that verse of Scripture there. It says, Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy. So he was recognizing the power of God, which thou hast shown unto me in saving my life. I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Well, spiritually, Lot he's born again, he's saved. It's hard to imagine living in that. But we can see the result of a backslidden man living in such a place. Look at his family. Look what happened to his family. And so think about that. Why are these messages, why are these stories, why are these men listed in God's Word? It's for us to learn. Every word has a purpose, and that purpose is to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus. What happened to Lot? Lot took his eyes. Remember when Abraham gave Lot a choice? Their herds got so big, and he looked to the left and looked to the right, and he says, you know, if you go right, I'll go left. If you go this way, I'll go that way. Abraham gave him a full choice. And instead of Lot falling on his knees and saying, Lord God, please guide me and show me where I can honor and serve you. You remember what did he do? He lifted up his eyes. That's what he did. He lifted up his eyes, he looked upon the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and the valley, and they were so rich, and it was so wonderful. Well, It wasn't long, if you remember, he was living down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And then it wasn't long, again, the kings from the north, Chedorlaomer, came down, if you'll remember that part of the scripture, and had taken him and the cities and everybody captive. Well, then Abraham had to go after him then. So Abraham went up, and there's another situation, another battle that went on in this time that we would have never heard about if it had not been for Lot, because there was no purpose of it being recorded except there sat Lot, a man of God, a backslidden man of God, but a man of God, and there he was right in the middle of Satan's territory. And he was not there to witness. He was there because he loved the sin of the city, and he lost his family because of it. Now, I want you can't miss that. You can't miss it. You say you love your daughter, you say you love your son, then you need to begin to walk that separated life. You say you don't have time to be in church on Wednesday night or Sunday night, you'd rather run around and be around some of that crowd. I know what so many of you do. You don't make that choice. Well, you're going to lose your children, and you probably have very little testimony right now. You don't have any fruit of God. You don't have any testimony of God. You just have your life, and that's what Lot had. Lot had his life, and I think Lot was very wealthy down in Sodom and Gomorrah, because usually connected with this position of power like Lot had, he was sitting at the gate, and usually those folks were very wealthy. And so is that what you want? You want power and you want prestige? You want somebody to pay attention to you? Well, that's just great, because that's what you're going to have. But you're going to lose your family and probably lose your life because of it. Now here we come, and we find that all this has been going on. God says, so we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. The Lord hath sent us to destroy it, in verse 13. And so Lot went out again to try to find those that he could get, but he could get none of them. What did I just say? He lost his family. He lost his family because he decided that the liberal ways of this world were so exciting that he would walk that way and take that path. His eyes led him. He did not follow the leadership of the Lord in really any way or form. And then it comes to pass, when it's time to leave, that even then he was lingering. Was he lingering because he had such a love for the city? Or was he lingering because he couldn't get anybody to go with him? I would say it was probably a combination of both, but it was as much a love of his home, a love of the city, a love of the people there, and the sin that they were involved in, the awful sin. Remember what these men, young and old, wanted? They wanted the other men. These men, the main people of the city, were perverted. They were so perverted that they no longer had any desires for a man to a woman or a woman to a man. What do we have today that continues to try to take hold? Our liberal media proclaims it so strongly that it's so evident and so nationwide. It is not. But the media would prefer desires that we believe that it is so strong, and that's a lie that the media is proclaiming. And also to call it an alternative lifestyle is a lie, because it is against God's word. It is against God's will. It is against God's way, and it brings nothing but death to you. And so please, will you listen to the word of God today? Come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, and then not follow Lot's path here, but follow the path of a godly man. Let's look at Abraham, because Abraham is a godly man. He even stood between the judgment and God as he bargained with the Lord Jesus concerning what was to happen. And he said, if there be 10 souls, I will spare all the cities of the valley. There was not 10 souls in that whole city. And they brought judgment upon themselves because of their wickedness. So when judgment comes, don't be surprised. And as Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife, God is talking about there. Jesus is talking about judgment. And when we look here, no one ever thought, there wasn't a resident of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities of the valley that thought this judgment would ever come. And you're probably one of those that's just like that. You don't think the judgment will ever come. Well, who sent the judgment? Let's see where the judgment has come from here. It came to pass when they had brought forth abroad that he said, "Escape for thy life," verse 17, "look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed me in saving my life." You know, sometimes those words just kind of, oh, you've been merciful, you've been kind. Now, did Lot believe that completely? Who knows? He was so cold-hearted because of where he lived. "I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" Please, I can't live out there in the country. I can't live in the mountains. There's going to be a mountain lion or a bear or something's going to get me. I can't live up there. Well, something already got him, and it was a sin of the city. See, he was fearful of living up there in the hills and the mountains. Does he not remember when Abraham and Sarah came into the land of Canaan originally? It was, you know, they lived in tents. But you see, he'd gotten so used to city dwelling and the sin of the city that he would rather live there, and he felt safer there. Now, is that the way you are? Are you so ungodly that you feel safer and more secure around the people that love this world and curse God and they smoke and they drink and they do all those things, and you just, you know, well, I don't really like those things and I don't do those things, but my friends do. If you begin to call them your friends, you best watch out. Because even though you yourself aren't doing them, number one, you have no testimony because you have just said what you like of the world and you don't like the things of God. And also, it's not going to be long. Either you're going to be doing them or your children will. So you're going to sell your children out to the devil by your ways. You just watch that. You watch the words that I've just said. And you're going to be crying over your children by decisions that you have made. So please, today, repent and turn to the Lord Jesus and begin that walk if you're a believer. And I said repent and turn. Now those are the same words that you do if you're lost. You need to repent. You need to turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But many times a believer doesn't need to do that again for his salvation. We've learned that with Lot. Lot's saved, but he's sure a miserable mess. And so we're coming out of there, and now he's made this deal, and God says, "Yes, okay, you can stay in Zoar. I'll spare that city." Isn't God gracious? Yes, he is. Even though this backslidden man don't think he's seen nothing wrong with living in Sodom and Gomorrah, but he saw everything wrong with living out in the mountains. And so when the sun was risen, the earth, in verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. And so he did. He went into that little city. And then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew up on the ground. Now look at the total destruction. Look at the complete destruction that took place. Oh, isn't it so sad that there was not, as Lot went to find even his immediate family. See, he has lost his married daughters. He has lost his son-in-laws. He has lost his sons. All those stayed in the city. Lot and his two daughters and his wife left. Now let's see what happened to his wife, because you see, when Lot went down into that city, again, there was such a love for it that she did not listen, but his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Now, is it because she looked, because the Lord said, do not look back. Do not turn and look upon this judgment, because it's going to be so terrible. Is it because she turned and looked back? Or is it because she was lagging behind and she was so close to the destruction that she became part of the destruction? She didn't want to leave. I don't know which it is. Doesn't much matter. But the problem that does exist is that she had such a desire to stay in that city. She wanted to stay. She loved that city. How did she fall in love with the city of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley? It's because Lot took her there. He was the leader of that house, and he moved them right into that city. And he raised his family in that city. Now, what did it cost Lot? How much did it cost Lot to live among the world like he was living? It cost him everything. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his house. He lost his money. He lost his position. He lost everything living in the world as he did. He had gained all these things of power, all these places of position, but we find that he lost it all. And when he leaves now he loses his wife. So instead of having himself, his wife, and his two virgin daughters, all that is left is these two young daughters and Lot. And isn't it sad that these are the two young daughters that Lot was willing to give to these men down in Sodom and Gomorrah so that they wouldn't come in to the angels that dwelt in his house? Stay away, stay away. Just I'll give you my daughters. Look at the condition of Lot. Look at the sad, sad spiritual condition. And now let's look at this judgment has come, and all the land is gone. And to this day, they have no idea really where. They know the general area, but they don't know where Sodom and Gomorrah there. You know, sometimes and many times through the old cities, they'll continue to excavate and they'll find the old foundations from some old city that was recorded in God's Word. But you know, in Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, they have found nothing. They believe it to be down below the tar pits of the Dead Sea. You know, that's probably the location, but there is no existence, there is no evidence that they ever were there. When God's judgment comes, it was so complete and so full. What happened to Lot's family? They're gone. Only thing he has is two virgin daughters. His two daughters are left. That's it. Him and his two daughters. Everything else is gone. How much fun was it to live in that city? How much fun was it to watch the destruction? Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where the Lord stood before him. He looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and towards all the land of the plains. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of the furnace. And that was the first time that Abraham knew there was not 10 righteous people. He didn't know where Lot was. He didn't know where Lot's family was, but he knew, because judgment had come up on that city, that there was not 10 souls left. Now you think about that. And the population was great in the cities, Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities of the valley, and yet there was not 10 people in that city that was born again. There was not 10 people. Sin had grown so rapid, so strong, and Lot was right in the middle of it. And it cost Lot everything. It cost him everything. Now, you think about that. When you're raising your children, you say, well, I don't live in such a city like that. You think about the people you run around with. You best start being around Christians, and I'm talking about true believers, folks that follow God's Word and God's Word alone. Because there is going to be a judgment. It will come as the judgment came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, each time we come together, we look at God's precious Word, and we look at these wonderful examples that we have, and some of them aren't so pretty, are they? But I'm going to ask you, as I do each time, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?